The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back. Great to have all of you here the final hour, and we'll get back to general conversation in a few minutes. And if you want to get in, 855-242-7285 is our number. There's a lot out there right now and a lot to digest, and we will get to your calls in just a few minutes. But first, I want to welcome back to the show Bill Conley from ESPN. And Bill, it's always good to have you here. Usually we are going over some intricate list that you have come up with, and we're all trying to figure it all out. But this time you put something out there in reaction to what Europe has been tossing around in relation to European soccer. Good afternoon, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, this is the ultimate off-season project here, and that it's already dead like 2 hours after our post went up. But
I didn't want to say that.
The Super League of European football, it was an idea coming together. It's been tossed around for decades, just like a similar idea has in football for about a century now. But the idea was basically the best teams from each league just basically start their own league. Instead of having like a Champions League tournament, they basically say, we're in this tournament every year, we'll invite a few of you guys, but we're closing up shop basically. We have definitely seen college football versions of that tossed around, and I'm glad they haven't happened. But it didn't take much fan outcry for this one to die off, apparently. It's less than 48 hours, and it appears like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it has been killed, sometimes, I don't know if you remember that in history, the Cuban Missile Crisis being one where the White House acted like they did not get the message from at the time the Soviet Union. I'm going to act like that didn't happen, okay? Just for because I know you put a lot of work into this, Bill. What would it look like in the event that we ever come back to this?
Yeah, a few of the college football writers, we came up with our own list, and mine was pretty. You know, the idea here was they had 12 teams. The soccer list originally had 12 big brands, and they were going to have three more teams invited to the show, basically, to be permanent members. And so my thought was I came up with a list of 13 that basically included every national title winner going back to 02, every major thing. Yeah, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU from the SEC, Clemson, Florida State from the ACC. Again, these are brands, not necessarily teams that have been great this moment. Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas, USC, and then I threw in UCLA as well, just so there was a dance partner out west. And then at that point, you've got 13 teams who basically is desperate enough to buy their way in. And you could definitely make a case for Nebraska, for Tennessee. I ended up going with Texas A&M and Penn State because they've had a little more success recently. So there's your 15-team outdated list of college football Super League.
And so it brings up the question, these are the schools that you would put in, which leaves us all thinking about who got left out.
Yeah. I mean, that's, in the end, that's kind of what has always kept the Super League on the soccer side from happening is you know, Liverpool has a major rival across a park from Everton, and they with this going on, you know, they'd have probably been booted from the Premier League. They wouldn't play Everton anymore. And so it's really like a nuclear grade version of conference realignment where we lost Oklahoma, Nebraska, we lost Texas A&M. This we'd be losing just massive amounts of cross city, cross park, et cetera, rivalries if we went down this road. And I think that's one of the things, the pushback from that is one of the things that's going to prevent it from happening.
Bill, obviously, this is not going to happen. But I think would it really be what we want, though? I mean, it's obviously was a great idea for 24 hours in Europe, but
right.
What would we do with this?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, among other things, that's as strange as this sounds, among other things, like, that's a lot of really good teams that are going to go like 2-10. It would completely change the scope of everything with the sport. And over on this side of the States, we already have the NFL. You know, we already have this concept. And so I've always really enjoyed European soccer, in part because of all the similarities it has with college football. You know, college football is the sport that will always be first, and I'm very familiar with that, the regional aspect, the rivalries, the bragging rights, and this would get rid of it. This would simply be the best teams or the best brands or whatever playing each other every week. And again, if you like that, you've already got the NFL for that. We don't need college football to do that.
There has been this has been talked about really for many, many years. And I'm not talking about recently, but, you know, going back 25, 30, 40 years. And, you know, we almost saw it 10 years ago, Bill, when the Pac-12 nearly married the Big 12. I mean, they were pretty close. Do you think, considering where we are right now, that this has any chance of happening in, you know, foreseeable future?
Right, like our version of the realistic version, or I don't know if realistic, semi-realistic version, is the four super conferences of 16 teams each or whatever that we thought might have a chance of happening when it looked like the Pac-12 and Big 12 were going to do whatever they were going to do there. But, I mean, that's kind of a less extreme version of what the Super League was supposed to be, but I don't want to say the moment's passed, because what we've learned is that ideas never die, especially if the people who run the sport have them. They always pop back up. That's been the case with this Super League idea to begin with. So I don't want to say it won't happen, but it's definitely the moment passed to a certain degree. I think it's going to be a while till we circle back around to that. The Big 12 and Pac-12 aren't going to merge anytime soon. The Big 12 kind of seems to have survived a certain level of vulnerability. And the other conferences aren't merging either. So, I think at this point we've got our five power conferences. There's a chance, of course, that we end up going down a road where those five power conferences split apart from everybody else. We've obviously talked about that a lot, but it won't be quite as clean and quite as simple as some sort of four super conference deals, I don't think.
And I ask you, pretending to be naive, what do you think would create that break? What would finally cause the Power Five to say, you know what, we're done, we're moving on, and we're going to play with our own ball?
Well, I was really curious about with everything that happened this last season, whether that would generate some sentiment in that direction, because part of the reason the Super League on the soccer side came back up now is because all those super clubs lost a lot of money. And this was a way of generating a better TV deal and maybe making some of that money back after everything that's happened in the last year. So something like that, where everybody suddenly realizes, like, okay, well, rivalries are great, and we like the circle of life, or whatever Jimbo Fisher called it, with FCS and all that. In an emergency, when you start looking after mainly yourself, that's when you start to look for ideas like this. So if it didn't happen in these last, say, 4 months, it probably will be a while before it happens, because I think an emergency like that, a situation where everybody suddenly lost a lot of money, that's a perfect time to bring it up, and nobody did.
And I ask another naive question, considering where we both work. Why not? why was there not more of an appetite?
I don't know. I'm glad there wasn't. The bigger the boat, the better. I'm all for it. I mean, I said on your show that I thought Cincinnati should be in the playoffs, so of course I probably think this way. But it is kind of curious, because the TV money would be there. But I don't know. I don't think anybody necessarily enjoyed. I don't want to say they didn't enjoy a 10-game SEC schedule, but there just wasn't as much cross pollination as normal. There would be a little of that, but I think we got a taste of something different and found that we probably liked the old way that we had it quite a bit. I hope that's what. Maybe we're planting the seed right now, and then somebody's going to bring it up here in another month or so. But hopefully it's because of good ideals, and we just like the way we had it before the 2020.
Always good to have you on, Bill. Thank you. Be well. Sorry about the news from Europe today.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the break, and I want to quote something here that I just saw. And again, I want to recap. And I realize those of us in sports, we do live in a bubble. And you know, there are many times when it's a good bubble to be in. It's safe. But ultimately, we have to come out of it and see what's happening up and down the dial. And about an hour ago, the jury came in Minneapolis in the Chauvin case, finding him guilty of all three accounts. And he has been remanded into custody, and, you know, barring an appeal that he certainly is entitled to, thanks to the Constitution, he will not be a free man for a very long time. This is also this case, which happened on Memorial Day with George Floyd, sparked. I'll get the word right. You know, one of the most extraordinary summers of any of our lifetime. It was the most reactive civil rights case in more than a generation. It also has brought sports into this conversation, and this is where, you know, we spent a lot of time last summer having, in my mind, some of the most awkward but satisfying programs that we've ever had. I will say, and you know, I'm just a host, but there were nights when it was both heartbreaking. And
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Enraging because of so much conversation that even though every time you think you had seen it all, that you had experienced all of it, I found out that we had not. It was, but I'm glad we did it. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people, you know, felt better about it. I bring this up because everyone has been on tenterhooks lately around the country. The NBA was on the record as saying that they would be watching very closely, and I know at this hour many NBA coaches are reacting. I don't know about anyone else because the NBA is in season as other programs are. But the most influential and important NBA player has just tweeted about the verdict, LeBron James. And it's simple, succinct, and I want to get your reaction to what he said. LeBron James, not with a long message, nothing meandering about it, simply has just tweeted in reaction to the verdict, accountability. Forever in sports, people like me, the pundits, have debated whether the stars of the game, those on the very front line, the Mount Rushmore types, should say more or should have said more. Michael Jordan was often castigated for not speaking out about anything during his tenure. And Charles Barkley, has been very outspoken about a number of things. Tiger Woods has not. Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan are the two most successful marketeers of probably the last 30 or 40 years, and there's always been a concern that if you speak out, you hurt yourself. The famous line about Michael Jordan that Republicans buy sneakers too. He has denied ever saying that, but that was attached to him. But LeBron James has been different. He has not held back. He has never backed down. And it's why, in spite of his brilliance on the court, and that's not debatable, he has become a polarizing figure of his time. And I bring this up because there will be many others who speak out in the aftermath of this verdict. And we will once again have the intersection of sports and the real world on our doorstep. Let me throw the phones open. We don't have any more guests scheduled. It's all yours the rest of the way. If you have a thought on this, fine. If you want to get back to where we have been for the past 3 hours and 15 minutes, that is perfectly all right, too. The phone number is 855-242-7285, and we are coming back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and the reaction continues to pour in from the sports world on the verdict this afternoon. Stephen A. Smith, arguably the most influential media person in the culture, has tweeted as well, just like LeBron. He just tweeted a minute ago in capitalization, justice. You're damn right, with six exclamation points. Your phone calls are welcome right now at 855-242-7285. And Tex is first up. Tex, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Was that the whole tweet? Was LeBron's just
one
word?
Yeah, the entire tweet was accountability.
So I'm not a Keith Ellison guy, but I listened to his speech just a few minutes ago. And he said it would be tough to call this justice because there won't be any way to get restoration. But this is accountability. And you know what? As a constitutional conservative, I have to agree with him. And my first reaction to LeBron's comment is that's a relatively restrained response from LeBron, and I can't argue with the word.
Well, it's interesting, and I like less being more, quite frankly, and I think I can't answer for him. I've met LeBron James, but I certainly don't claim to know him. But I mean, I think it also intersects the our culture and sports media, because this is a world that we live in where everyone can express themselves, whether the two of us or someone with 50 million Twitter followers like LeBron James. And the way, it's not even the Twitter followers, as we found out really during the previous administration. It's the fact that once you tweet, it's the dissemination of that by the mainstream media.
Fair enough. I will say I'm a huge supporter of protest. I was in high school and college in the 60s, and sure, I protested, but I protested peacefully, and I'm a huge fan of that. And I'm waiting to see if these reactions are enough to keep the emotion and adrenaline that's running around some big cities, keep that peaceful.
And I'm glad you said that, Tex, because I think if it doesn't happen, then it's going to the president's about to speak. I mean, I hope people know that I am not pushing any political view here. That's not my point. I've stayed away from this case because we talk primarily about sports, but you can't avoid, this is different than the OJ case. When the OJ verdict came in, we had it live on our show at the time because OJ Simpson was a football player. And you didn't have to marry the two. They were already together. So, hey, thank you so much for the call. And would love to hear from anyone. It's an important night to a lot of people in this country, as I've discussed. And it's a good opportunity to be heard, even in a place where we normally try to figure out who's going to win the SEC. Let's check out Chase up next. Hello, Chase. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, long time no talk to you. How you been, man?
I am well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, before I start my conversation, I just want to preface it that I can't stand LeBron James, and I feel personally that this jury verdict was nothing more than a political witch hunt. One thing that stuck with me was something that happened to me in the fall of 1989. When I was in basic training, we entered the gas chamber, and we had to take off our gas mask. Shortly after that gas hit my face, I started screaming, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." I had a drill instructor run up to me and holler at me and say something that I still remember to this day. If you can scream, you can breathe, okay? That's my first point. Number two, what about Floyd's 11 nanograms per milliliter of fentanyl in his bloodstream and 7 nanograms per milliliter is a lethal dose? It's just a ridiculous witch hunt. And how many cops are going to turn in their badge tonight because of this bullcrap?
Well, thank you for the call, and I would like to hear from people in law enforcement, because this is a moment that, you know, we've had it before in this country. I mean, as long as I can remember, police have been on trial. I remember sitting in a trial when I was a teenager, because I was fascinated by the case, and you know, 7 policemen all got off, and I think that's why this is a rallying point for a lot of people, because this is that one time when it didn't go that way. That doesn't make it justice, that just makes it different. And we'll continue with more calls, and let's chalk to Jack up next. Hey, Jack, thanks for the call, appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, this is Chuck. Do you think you
Oh, I'm sorry,
right
Chuck,
one?
Go right ahead. My eyesight is failing me.
We talked about Bernie Madoff last week. And
oh, yes, I remember that well.
Your favorite detective.
Oh, of course.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
43 years in law enforcement and security at the highest levels, and I'll just say, as far as LeBron James goes, he's just one person. His opinion, though, he doesn't hold any more water than yours and mine, in my humble opinion. The other thing, Paul, the people that are quasi-celebrating, they got to watch what they wish for. We haven't had the sentencing yet. We have no idea what he's going to be sentenced to. We haven't had the appeal process, and if you followed a little bit of what the judge has been saying the last few days, the judge even mentioned things that came up during the week where there's a possibility for
the judge mentioned Maxine Waters, the congressman from California's comments.
But if you think about it, Paul, you're a pretty good attorney, I know that. Why didn't they sequester this jury? They only sequestered them when they went into deliberations. They should have sequestered them from the very beginning. You got the venue.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the judge said something that was simply not believable when he said he walked that argument both ways, and he said, as I've told the jury repeatedly, you know, not to watch the news. So I'm going to. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. That's the most ridiculous thing
I've ever heard.
Yeah, to review, just to take one talking head, just to paraphrase it, Wolf Blitzer said the other day, the jury must convict or they should convict. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. You know, these
You know what I think the story of the secondary story of this day will be, Jack. I mean, obviously, we all know the main lead, but it's the media reaction.
Yeah, the other thing, Paul, too, is in my whole career, Minnesota's a little bit unique. They have these fuzzy laws, and even some very, very good attorneys that are very prominent, like Buckley from George Mason,
right,
said that some of their statutes that they charged on here, the three they threw against the wall, are very murky at the very least as far as what you can be convicted of based on the evidence and so forth. So what they did was they threw three things up against the wall, hoping at least one of them would stick. But the best legal minds are saying he can only be sentenced on one of those charges. Obviously, it's going to be the highest one.
Sure, yeah.
But it isn't going to be consecutive 10 years, 15, 20, and then run them all together. So I think we got to watch the appeal. We got to watch the sentencing. And I don't know if juries do the sentencing in Minnesota.
No,
in Virginia and a lot of other states.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. That's a good question, as you well know. It's obviously a state case. It would, you know, a lot of places the jury does the sentence, but I have no earthly idea on Minnesota. We'll know by the end of the day.
The other thing I don't know is, too, when you get up to the appeals process, obviously he's not going to win anything in the appeals process in Minnesota. It's going to have to get into the federal system. And what other thing I don't know is, are the judges in Minnesota elected? You know, about 27 of our states have
elected. I believe they are.
They are. Well, then you know you're going to throw politics into that all the way up the line, whether we like it or we don't like it. And I'm not saying that's bad or good, but these people that are, again, quasi-celebrating right now, they just ought to just sit back, and I think they should just be quiet, because some of the same people that were involved in this are the same ones that will go to the end of the earth to try to have somebody released that killed a cop that has overwhelming evidence, and some of them are in jail, and they still have groups trying to get them out of jail, like the guy in Philadelphia from 40 years ago, you know.
No, you're right. In fact, I'm reading a book now about a guy who, it's a ministry getting, it's an old story, but there are plenty of them around, getting people off of death row. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Look forward to the next one.
Great, Paul. Thanks.
Good to hear. Okay, we're open the final 30 minutes if you want to opine. A lot of opinions are out there. Just looked over at SportsCenter, and there's Stephen A. is talking about it in relation to the NBA. That's what you're going to hear tonight. You're going to hear the news version. You're going to hear the sports version, whether you like it or not. 855-242-7285. We have 30 minutes to go, and we will talk to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and we're getting reaction here the final 25 minutes on anything you would like, but certainly the verdict has been the biggest story of the day, if not the year. The police officer in Minnesota found guilty on all charges of George Floyd's murder. Let's get to Ken in Alabama. Ken, thank you, and great to talk to you.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear
thank
me?
You. Yeah, I sure can. You sound great.
Okay, I haven't talked to you in 15 years, and I didn't know that I was going to be calling in today, but I got to say this. If I was a police officer in a liberal state, I would take my badge off and quit tomorrow. What Chauvin did was reprehensible. I saw the video. I couldn't believe it. But it was not illegal. I have police officers in my family, and all of them would tell you that that was terrible police work, but it was not illegal. And if I was a cop, I would quit tomorrow. And it's going to happen, which is what they want. They want cops to quit. I mean, that's why they're trying to defund them. But
let me jump in for a second, and because it's what we're trying to do is having and obviously we are a civil conversation. It's impossible to do it, I might add, because of the emotion. But when you say they want cops to quit, could I ask you to elaborate a little bit?
Well, you've heard of all the defund the police stuff that's going around right all over the country, especially in the liberal parts of the country. You can't think about it. How would you feel about living in a neighborhood anywhere in the country with no police? Everywhere that they've defunded the police, the crime rate has escalated. Okay, you can't I mean, what the guy did was horrifying, but it wasn't illegal. He was following police procedure, and I know he's being sacrificed. They're sacrificing him because they're scared of the mob. But I'm going to tell you right now, and you mark my words, there will be rioting in Minneapolis tonight.
And here, I mean, if you look at the other side of that, and it's not going, and you're right, it won't take very much, but that all that does, and I'm just a sports talk show host, all that does is feed the fire of the of those who are turned off by the social commentary, the agenda-based media, and I frankly. I think the media is agenda-based on both sides. I mean, that's an observation after having spent my entire life in the media. I don't think there is such a thing as an objective media anymore. I don't know about you, but that's just how I feel.
Well, there's not. There's not an objective media. And I'll tell you, the first thing I said when I saw that video, because everybody was talking about it, I said, well, I'm going to go watch it for myself. Because like I said, I've got police officers around my family. One of my uncle would walk the beat in Coconut Grove for 40 years. And I watched the video, and I turned to my wife, and I said, you see that? I said, if I had been standing on that street corner, I would have went to jail. I'd have went to jail. I'd have made him get off that man. But what he did was not illegal. It was horrifying to watch, but it wasn't illegal. And like I said, they're sacrificing him.
When you study history, there are moments in time, and this is one of those, where all the injustices that have occurred for hundreds of years are consumed into one balloon, and you just better hope that's not your moment, that you are that person. And this is the case because, that's what I'm sensing, and I've sensed that really since last year.
I don't understand exactly.
Well,
what you
my
mean
point
by.
Being, I'm sorry, that this officer is the embodiment of all the injustice that has occurred throughout history. That's how it's being portrayed.
Well, obviously, I mean, every time something like this happens, it's magnified in the media.
But I also just to play devil's advocate, how can you? I understand maybe. How can you claim that what he did was legal when the entire police department, including the chief, testified to the contrary?
They said originally that what he did was procedure. That was procedure. Then they changed their story. But if you go look at it, and when they originally started talking about it, what he did was procedure.
Okay.
In that area. Now, there was a lot of people that said that was bad procedure, that they shouldn't have allowed that. But in the beginning, they were saying that, you know, you put the person on the ground and you put your knee on him. What he should have done was rolled the guy over on his back as soon as he started saying that he couldn't breathe. But, you know, I hate to say this because I've been around people who've OD'd. I grew up in Miami, okay, and not in a good neighborhood. And I've been around people who OD'd, people who, you know, did terrible things with drugs. And I believe personally that he wouldn't have made it to the hospital no matter what they did. He was full of fentanyl. That man was going to die. But that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse for what they did. That's not an excuse for what happened. You know what I'm saying? The police got to be a little. He should have been more sensitive to the needs of that guy. But like I said, he was
well. And he also had people around him that, I mean, again, he wasn't the only one. He was, but I think we all know the story by now. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. You be well.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, we got a few minutes to go. Tough subject, obviously, but it's the subject.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.